Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
How about Will in Berkeley? Hi, Will, what's going on?
Hey, fellas, I'm loving this conversation right now.
Let's do it. Let's keep having it.
You know, like what I keep hearing about Kuminga's whole style of play, it really comes down to one thing, basketball IQ. And so I think the Warriors' mantra postseason should now be, let's work smarter, not harder. Because for many, many years now, and, you know, when I say many, I mean like 2021, 2022 is when Kuminga started. We've been trying to get this guy ramped up and ready for the big stage. And it's like, you know, this is a work in progress, and we're still working in progress with this kid. And he's not being smarter. He's working harder at trying to be something on the court. And if you don't know your role on the court, then why are you here? And you could go anywhere. I mean, he could go to the Wizards. He could go somewhere else. But, I mean, he's going to have the same issue anywhere else he goes. So I think for now, I love what Kerr is doing. He's looking at who are the basketball IQ-ists in the team. And so let's work smarter, not harder. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, Will.
Thank you.
I
if it was all about IQ, really, then Guru would be starting at the four. Am I right? I mean.
How come he didn't come in with that?
Wow.
I thought he was going to come in with the thing today. I thought he was going to come in with the test, the documentation.
Oh, they're still working on it.
Yeah. Are they?
I got the Giants going.
I thought he'd come in.
75.
Okay. That was
That's
after mean the test.
Spirited. Very funny, but mean spirited.
143.
That's how many games the Giants play this year, right?
How many they might win, right? Seriously. Anyway, yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Anyway, yeah. Work smarter, not harder. Yeah, I totally get it. You know what else this is a byproduct of? I mean, if you want to go big picture for a second, and I know it's just, God, like all roads seem to lead back to this conversation. It's what a lot of people want to talk about. I get it. At the same time, I think that this is a well-traveled point. This is in part a byproduct of the fact that a 22-year-old somewhat raw lottery pick landed on a team that just keeps winning. They keep winning. They keep putting themselves in position to make playoff runs. They keep having stars who keep playing well, no matter how old they are. And so you all know this. Like, if he mentioned, if Jonathan Kuminga was on the Wizards, it'd be the same. I actually think it'd be a little bit different, because if Jonathan Kuminga was on the Wizards, he'd have played a ton of basketball the last 4 years, but he didn't get to play here. And so you keep running into moments where a team that has high aspirations gets sort of to the end of the line. Like, they played Jonathan this year. Then he got hurt, very, very unfortunate. But then he came back, and they played him. They played him plenty. But now the rubber meets the road. It's like, now we've got games we've absolutely got to win, And we can't have people out there who sort of, for lack of a better way of saying it, look like they are 22 sometimes. And Jonathan still does. And that's okay. But this is a byproduct of the fact that Jonathan landed on a team as a lottery pick that's also really good in trying to win titles.
That's a fact. And if you want to look at the other members of his draft class and compare and contrast, well, the number one player in his draft class in minutes played is a guy we're going to see on Sunday, Jalen Green. Houston has not been to the playoffs yet with Jalen Green. So they've been a developing team. He leads the class in minutes played.
There you go.
And now he gets to play a playoff game. Scotty Barnes on Toronto, Franz Wagner on Orlando, Evan Mobley on Cleveland's a little bit different because they got some acquisitions and they got good and he's a fit player. You get into Josh Giddey and Corey Kispert in Washington. These are guys who've gotten to play because they're on terrible teams. Even Herbert Jones for New Orleans has played more than Kuminga. Cade Cunningham missed a whole year. He's played more than Kuminga because they were bad. So young players with no experience on good teams, you're just not going to play that much. He's played fewer minutes than Quentin Grimes right. in Philadelphia.
Wow.
And, I mean, Grimesy wow. is now coming into his own, but if Philly was actually trying to win, Grimes would not be playing as much.
No, he would not be playing at all. If right. Maxey hadn't gotten hurt and if Paul George didn't get hurt, all of that, he wouldn't
be. And Embiid shut it down.
And
so
then,
your point is well taken, yeah. and it's backed up by the numbers where, and this is a tried and true thing, this is not a Kerr thing. This is an NBA thing where if you're trying to win, you don't lean on 19 and 20-year-olds to come in and play a bunch.
Unless they come in polished. And Pods came in polished, and Moses Moody has polished his game up, and here we are. And I thought Moses was tremendous last night. And then I just see all of these faux comparisons happening. You know, like you'll hear a lot of people say, hey, other players made mistakes. You didn't pull them out of the game. Well, right, everybody messes up. Everybody turns the ball over. Here's one, just came in on our text line. 415, I see you. Ain't no way Buddy has a higher IQ than Kuminga. Buddy is near unplayable. Kuminga can at least play defense. I can't even disagree with the core of your point, but here's the problem with your point. You all know damn well what Buddy Hield can do. You shoot.
Yeah.
Period. There's the end of the analysis of why he gets to play and Jonathan doesn't. Buddy can shoot. And when Buddy goes out and doesn't shoot well, what happens?
He comes out.
He sits next to Jonathan.
He played 12 minutes last night.
Yeah.
And it's because he was not lighting it up.
But that threat is there. And from Jonathan right now, it's not. The defense runs away from him when he's at the three-point line, clogs the entire middle, and who likes to maneuver in the middle?
Well, Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler.
And he's pretty good at it.
He needs his damn space. And Buddy creates it, and Jonathan doesn't.
Exactly.
There it is.
If you want to talk about, well, Moody's in the rotation now. Well, Moody still has played 1,300 fewer minutes than Kuminga in almost identical games. So that tells you the trajectory of Moody versus Kuminga. And it also tells you that Moody does things for this team that Kuminga doesn't do. And that is play good defense on the ball and shoot the three. And that's why Moody now is in the rotation and JK's not.
He's become their best defender, in my opinion. 888-957-9570, Scott in Pleasant Hill. Hi, Scott. What's cooking?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good, man.
You guys, that last conversation kind of summed up a lot of my thoughts. I'm coming into this as a Kuminga supporter. I called like a couple weeks. And I was like, hey, let's give him a chance coming back from injury. Steve Kerr did that. It didn't work. But my main point is I think the big three, they're Steve Kerr's supporters. I mean, his playoff record is 99-41. I think Kerr, Draymond Green, and our Buckets.
Curry and Butler, are, yeah.
Yeah, they are on board with this. Like Steph saying, hey, I want Quentin in. He wanted Quinones in. And then I think the other one last night, when Draymond Green got on after the game and said, hey, I want to call out TJD for letting Quentin Post sit on the bench because he's a team player. I think that was a message to Kuminga. Like, this is what we're looking for. You got to buy in and you got to be a part of this team, you know? And I don't know if there's something going on personally there, but I have a feeling that there's like a little thing where they're like, hey, Kuminga, you're not quite with us right now.
Scott, thanks for calling. You literally just echoed something that Dibs, you said to me during a commercial break.
Yeah, I do think that there was some signaling there from Draymond Green because he went out of his way to tell the story about TJD, and he made it seem like TJD ran in the street and rescued an injured kitten who was about to get run over by a semi-trailer truck. What TJD did was he gave up his seat to a rookie. And I know that in pro sports, that's an actual thing. You have the story over there?
I got it right here.
I'd love to hear from Draymond. I don't need an encapsulation sensation.
No, here's what
Let's hear it from Day-Day.
Here's what he said.
Trayce Jackson Davis did something on the bench today. He didn't play in the game. There was no seats left on the bench. Quentin Post said, Trayce, can I get that seat? And Trayce just got up. And a part of me was baffled that he got up for the rookie, because the rookie, if there's no seat, you sit on the floor. He just got up and gave him the seat. And I walked over to him and I said, that's one of the most selfless things I've ever seen a teammate do, because 99% of the time, you're going to be like, you going to go sit on the floor, Rook, or go find a seat somewhere else? But he knew he wasn't part of the rotation, and yet the rookie was. They're playing the same position, and he got up and just went, he literally got up and went and stood in the tunnel because there were no seats. And so I just wanted to put that out there, because that to me, like, that's why you win games. It's chemistry, it's selflessness, it's togetherness. And I just thought that was a huge moment, and nobody else saw it except us three. And so I wanted to share that because I thought that was a really big moment for our bench that, you know, you can make him sit on the floor and nothing happens. Or you can get up and boost confidence in him and he go back out there and hit a three. And I thought that was special.
I love the story. I don't necessarily think that that was pointed at someone else. I would like to take that at face value. I can't tell you that you're wrong. I did also like Joe Shasky's comment this morning after playing that. Why the hell don't they have enough seats?
Well, it's because they sell those seats to people.
Come on. Can we get enough chairs for the actual Warriors?
You know how much that would cost Joe Lacob?
I'm cool with it. Like,
you think he's cool with it?
You're paying them $50 million a year. Can you give him a chair?
And plus, you know, when you get to the network level, you've got the three broadcasters and the stage manager and the stats person. They take seats as well. Mm-hmm.
We're sponsored by San Francisco International Airport. We'll take more of your calls next on Willard and Dibs.
Shot clock down to 12. Game clock at 45. Shot clock at 10. Curry screens. Butler comes down the lane. Pass outside. Threw it right to Pippen. Turnover. Pippen on the go. Goes up. Blocked by Podziemski. And a foul. Nick Booker calls a foul on Podziemski. Boy, I don't know, Tom. What do you think?
That's not a foul.
Not a foul.
That's not a foul.
Not a foul.
That's a block.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Podziemski. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, it wasn't a foul. Guess who agrees with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert? The NBA.
Yeah. The last two-minute report is out, and there are four ICs listed in the last 2 minutes. Incorrect calls.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them went against the Warriors. Two of them went for the Warriors. So we can all look
at. Yeah, the refs didn't ruin the game. They just annoyed us in the final 2 minutes.
Right, and that's the one that nobody talks about is when Ja tried to foul Steph, didn't, and the ball went off of Steph, and they gave it back to the Warriors.
That's kind of a fake one to me, because that's that's the way all officials officiate the game of basketball.
But in this day and age, a lot of those get reviewed, and if he gets looked at, then you look at it and you go, oh boy, That should be a Memphis ball.
If you want to tell me the ball went off of Steph's leg, then I'm going to tell you Ja reached. It's a foul.
Should have been. Like, he tried to foul him.
Right. So, I mean, Ja was literally yelling at the refs, I'm trying to foul him over here. So, anyway, that one to me is kind of faux, and it doesn't matter. Steph and Jimmy combined for 31 free throw attempts. I don't think Warrior fans have anything to complain about, but I do think the last 90 seconds of basketball, like, it got loose. It got loose, and a game can get ruined when that stuff happens. Those were two, in my mind, really bad calls that went against the Warriors. Didn't hurt them, and so everything in the end is fine.
Yeah, I think the Pods one was pretty clear to me that it was a block. It wasn't a foul. The Kevon one's a weird one because you got a couple of big bodies in there, and you get your hands on somebody, and they fall. Doesn't mean that you pushed them, but it can mean that that's the way that gets called, and that's one that I don't know if either one of them would have been overturned, but the last two-minute report is indicating that had they taken a second look at that one, it would have gotten overturned. And Steve Kerr today at 5:30, one thing that I'm going to ask him is how he goes about allocating his challenges, because you've got twirly finger Draymond and you've got I need it, Podzemski. How does Steve go about deciding? I know he goes to the second row, but is there a thought where you want to hold it like late into a game when you really, really, really need one?
I'd also like to know if he feels that the final 2 minutes of a basketball game should be conducted as such, where if you don't have a challenge, oh well. Like the NFL takes over in the last 2 minutes. You don't need a challenge anymore. They're just going to look at it. I wonder what he'll say about that. That and much more with Steve Kerr at 5:30 today. But your phone calls until then, and I want to share this tweet with everybody too. Hello, AOS Floor, who tweeted at us and at 95.7 The Game and said, here we go, Rockets and Warriors. Easter Sunday, they've got Amen, and we've got Moses.
Wow, that's a five. That's Catholics out there, that's a damn five.
That's some good religious humor right there.
No doubt.
Who wins in that case, by the way? On Easter, what's more powerful, Moses or Amen?
Well, I believe that Easter is more of a New Testament, so Moses is a little bit out of his depth as an Old Testament character, and so I don't think that Jesus staged his comeback until the New Testament. He was down at the half, I know that.
I don't even know what the hell's going on right
so
now.
So Jesus goes into the locker room Moses, and he's down a bunch.
When Moses takes a charge and he gets up, is someone going to say he has risen?
Well, first of all, Moses gets the ball at the top of the circle, and as he drives down, the defenders just part.
Okay,
and he's
got
a free lane to the bucket. And then you go into halftime, and Jesus is down a bundle. And then you get late into the New Testament, and back comes JC. You thought they were down 42 with 8 minutes to go? Christ is coming back. Christ has risen. He is him.
We should probably stop.
I can't stop. I got so much more. I can do 5 minutes of humor on this.
I know you can. I know you can. And I'm going to stop you.
Jesus was down a bundle at the half. That's all I'm going to say.
Thank you. That's pretty funny. Roger in the city. Hello, Roger. What are you doing?
Just driving home from a day of work.
Yeah, that happens. All right. Congratulations on being done. Hello? Yeah, go ahead, Roger. You're done with work.
I just wanted to say. Oh, sorry. I thought you meant done for, like, you were dropping me.
No. We're not going to treat you like Guy Santos and let you walk in the game and scream and leave. Like, we're not doing that.
Oh, God, love Guy. Anyways, just wanted to say, yes, like a lot of people have said, it's pretty obvious that Kerr and the analytics kind of speak for themselves and that they know what they're doing. But you know what Jonathan Kuminga knows how to do? He knows how to cook the Rockets. Hmm. And he will cook the Rockets if he's just given the opportunity. So if Jimmy's having any problems, Kerr needs to make the adjustment and just let him go at these guys because he knows these guys well. And he's cooked each one of them individually many, many times. Thompson, Green, probably Eason. He knows what he can do against these guys, and he has proven it many times this season. He needs to cook the Rockets.
Roger, thank you. Can I I've arrived at a spot. I'd like to talk about this for a second.
You can. I mean,
you know exactly what I'm going to do.
Well, I mean,
listen to me.
Does it have it to do with cooking?
I think he's going to play against Houston, but right now it doesn't matter. We got a lot of time before the Warriors play the Rockets, and I don't know how that's going to look. I think there's some variables involved, but yes, the Rockets are young and long and athletic. Do they need Jonathan? Probably. Okay, that'd be my guess. Who knows? We'll see. But here's what I'm personally done with. I really don't want to hear any more about how Jonathan cooks. I don't care what he scored against the Rockets.
He averaged 21 a game.
I don't care.
He cooked.
I don't care.
He wore an apron in the game in October.
When the hell is somebody going to call in and be like, you know what Jonathan can do in this series is play team basketball and make good decisions that help the Warriors win? I'm really starting to get tired of this Cook thing and the ha-ha. And what Jonathan can do as an individual and what Jonathan can do as an individual and what Jonathan can do as an individual. I don't want to know. I don't care what anybody can do as an individual. The Warriors need Jonathan to start making the right decision on a very consistent basis. And they don't. You might disagree. They don't. But I don't hear anybody ever say that. Nobody ever calls and says, you know what, Jonathan? We think Jonathan can go in there and make the right play. Everyone keeps wanting him to cook. That's not what this. That's not going to win a ring.
Well, it won on December 5th.
Great.
You didn't have Steph. You didn't have Jimmy yet, and you didn't have Draymond. He had 33-7, and you beat those Rockets
right
at Chase Center.
He had no choice but to cook. There was nobody else out there who could
he
play.
He made an appetizer. He served a main. And then you know what he gave him for dessert? He gave him the ha-ha.
The ha-ha, yeah, the ha.
33-7.
Ha-ha, yeah.
Let J.K. cook.
I don't care who cooks. I just want the meal. I don't.
Well, the meal that night was delicious.
Yeah. Well.
I mean,
don't do that.
That's the guru sound.
Don't do that.
And I'm looking at the game score, and that was not his best game of the year, but it was one of them. He had three games that, according to Basketball Reference, had a higher game score. Two of those games, though, the Warriors lost. So, I'm just tongue-in-cheek coming back at you because I'm totally with you. But, and I wonder about him playing in the series because what you've said for the last couple of weeks has really stuck with me about this Warrior team. Like, to go back to December and look at this game where J.K. cooked and you didn't have Steph, Jimmy, or Draymond, well, that's a great night, and I'm not taking that away from Jonathan because they won that game, and without that game, they might have been the 8 seed.
Yeah, that's
so
good point.
That matters, but
sure.
This team is not that team, and this team needs him to – this team doesn't need him to cook. They need him to be an assistant sous chef. They need him to chop. Chop the veggies like Guy Santos. I'd love to bus a table.
I just want people to stop making everything about individuals. I don't care. I don't care. Why do people want to let J.K. cook? What does that do for you? It's almost like people want somehow they want him to prove to the organization that he's a talented basketball player more so than they want the Warriors to win the basketball game. I'm not here to tell you that J.K. stops you from winning the basketball game, but why is that your goal? Let him cook. I want him to cook. Why is that anyone's goal? I don't care if Steph scores 4 points if they win.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Did you hear the Jimmy soundbite about, I don't care if I have, you know, 10 assists or, you know,
right,
miss 10 threes. I just want to win.
Jimmy Butler, this guy has had games. He's a future Hall of Famer. He had games 2 weeks ago where half our staff came in screaming and yelling because he shot the ball 4 times.
Yeah, that was me.
Great. Shoot it 4 times. Did we win?
Did they win that game when he shot 4 times?
I don't remember.
I think they lost.
I think they won. I just don't care who cooks.
I get it.
I don't care who cooks. All right, let's go to Larry in Lafayette. Hi, Larry, what's up?
Well, I've been just sitting here enjoying a couple of, you know, first a fun, then a more serious effort from you guys. There was kind of a resurrection comic inflection sincere perfection.
Whoa.
From Dibs a minute ago.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Yeah,
slight blasphemy, but
it's
all
now,
done with tongue-in-cheek, and I love the Lord, all of them. All
no,
the gods.
We like it.
Appreciate
I was not, in no way was I coming down on it.
And I love Cadbury cream eggs. Man, they should sell those things year-round, Larry.
I agree.
Yeah.
But here's what my take is. The Warriors came into this, and they were looking I think it was 2019 when they drafted Wiseman. No, it was 2020. And they drafted Wiseman that year, and they were thinking that they were going to get the next Tim Duncan. And that didn't work out very well. And now you have a raw rookie who's really trying his best, had a lot of injuries, didn't work out. But that should have taught them something about drafting a project with Steph Curry still on the roster. Then they follow that up with Kuminga and Moody. And, you know, I think you could argue that both of them had really tough time breaking in. And I don't think it's their fault. I agree with everything you said about all the other folks that were able to play because they were on bad teams. And, you know, there are always great scorers on bad teams. But, unfortunately, you put Kuminga out there right now, they're going to drop off him and not even, you know, they're going to clog Jimmy a little bit. But I think even worse, they're going to double-team a lot of three-point shooters, not just Steph. So that lack of spacing that happens when he gets on the floor is why I think Steve can't use him yet. We're going to need him against the Rockets, though. I think they're longer, more athletic, and I think he'll have a role. But I hope it works out.
Larry, I think it's a great call. Thank you very much. I co-sign with what Larry's saying wholeheartedly. I do think Jonathan will probably play in this series. I think he'll probably play in this series.
Well, that's another question for Steve Kerr then. Yeah. It's how do you get him ready? How has he stayed ready?
Well, that's his responsibility.
It's Jonathan's responsibility. Absolutely. And Steve's. And I wonder about the, you know, where he is mentally after having two DNPs in two gigantic games. And, you know, I'm sure Steve will say, you know, Jonathan's a professional.
That's
and he,
your
you know,
job.
We've been talking to
yeah.
Jonathan and he'll be ready when called upon and all the rest of it. But I personally just wonder about bringing a 22-year-old back after two games of DNP, and now it's, all right, JK, get in there. We need you, kid.
But this isn't new. Moses went through this his whole career. TJD went through this just last
week.
Yes,
still is.
Guy Santos didn't play in game one. When Guy went in last night, not one human was like, is he right? Is his mentals okay?
Stories, though.
Of course they're different stories.
Way different.
But there are similarities. And one of the similarities, and the only one that matters to me, is you are a professional.
Yeah.
So your job is to not get up in your feelings, and when you're called upon, you go perform to the best of your abilities. That's it. And I would expect Jonathan to do, like we've said this a bunch of times, Jonathan has handled this great.
Yeah, he has.
I don't know what he says behind the scenes, but he has not caused any problems. He's handled it great. And if and when he goes in against Houston, I absolutely think that he'll be ready to go and he'll be full effort. I don't see it as an effort thing. I just don't see him as a great decision maker, and I don't see him as a great shooter. And those two things are a problem for Warrior basketball. But I think early in this series you'll probably see him. I don't know if you'll see him late. I don't know
if
you'll see him late.
Depends on how he does early. If he gets some time in the early portion.
Yeah.
I just wonder about his confidence, because when you go from DNP to, all right, now we're going to play you, you're usually not given a big, long leash. And if you're not given a long leash, do you press or do you kind of play tentatively? It depends on your nature. And JK thrives when he plays with that downhill aggression and he attacks the rim and, you know, you get the ha-ha and he's trying to dunk on people. I just wonder if he does get minutes if he's not tentative, being afraid to make
a
mistake.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I think the mental challenge is always there for professional athletes. You know what I mean? Like people who, you know, let's say that you're getting your first chance in a while, or let's say you sign a new contract, or let's say you get traded somewhere. We went through this with Dennis Schroeder. Remember when it was, oh, he's pressing. He's pressing because he's in a new environment and he really wants to show out well. Well, that's the deal. Pro sports throws a bunch of mental crap at you, and you have to be able to handle it and perform. And so, same thing here, I think. Let's go to TK in Petaluma. Hi, TK. Thanks for calling.
Hello, guys. First of all, I love the show. I love listening to it on my way home. Second of all, when you all walk out tonight, look out for those lightning rods with all of those religious jokes. Be careful.
Yeah, I'm good. I've been doing it for 50 years, and so far, so good. Although, it is a little cloudy today.
No, we'll be all right.
And I am wearing a metal jacket, so yeah.
Full metal jacket for Dibs. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, remember, God, Dibs did most of the jokes. Anyway, go ahead, TK.
If God can't take a joke, then he's not the all-knowing, all-loving creature that we all think he is. Come on, God.
Fair enough. My comment along the same lines that you've been talking, I think that the piece that I would say is, I think Kerr is more comparable than you guys are giving him credit. And here's what I mean by that. You get athletes, when you get them on your team, you get what you get. They are what they are. They have whatever athleticism, whatever. I hate when people constantly throw around IQ. This is basketball. These are athletes. The fact of the matter is, yes, they have to be smart and all of that. But at the end of the day, you have what you have. And I think it's up to the coach to figure out combinations where he can get the most out of the players you have. And if you have an issue with him being on the floor with Jimmy, which is what he specifically said, then there are going to be times where you're going to have to get Jimmy off the floor. But he is not going to go through several seven-game series playing 40 minutes. You have to be able to look out further than that and know that he won't be able to play. So, therefore, you have to be already planning the times that he's off the floor, put Kuminga in where he's able to do what he is able to do best, maximize his talents. It's not easy, but that's why the coach is the one that you have to be required to have the highest IQ than anybody else, because he has to figure out those combinations to get the most out of everybody. So if you can't have them on the floor at the same time, even if you're giving Jimmy a break and you're getting him in for 2 minutes here, a minute here, or 3 minutes there, that is a better proposition than not playing him at all and not going into this series where you know you're going to need him.
Okay, so TK, yeah, this is a great call, but here's what I would respond and say to those points. Number one, the idea that can Jimmy Butler be doing 45 minutes a night for the entire playoffs? No, probably not. But these last two games were not that. These were treated as one-game, must-win situations. And I guarantee you, even if Jonathan suddenly has a role, or anyone, Gee, TJD, if they've got a role in game one, two, or three, if this series gets to game seven, that's out the door. That's out the door. We're going with our best, and we're putting our best foot forward, and I think that that's completely fair. One other thing to bring to the conversation with the crowd that wants certain players, hey, just give them a little nugget. Give them a little 3 minutes. Let me just present this for your thoughts. I think there are some players who would absolutely rather have 0 minutes than seven. And the reason is stats. That's it. Because stats are very much part of the conversation when it comes to money. And when you play, now your PPG, there goes your points per game.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm telling you, this comes
up when an
agent is out there talking to teams, and you're not going to rely on Brooklyn's GM to know the whole story of how this, that, and the other unfolded with the Warriors, and he's looking at let's go to his basketball reference page.
Oh, yeah.
And let's check out, what's his playoff points per game? Oh, 1.2? What the hell's the matter? Well, I'm not paying for that guy. I'm telling you, this is at minimum a part of the conversation.
I would agree, and right now for his career, Jonathan Kuminga's averaging 8 minutes a game.
Minutes.
8 minutes a playoff game. I do think also that different players thrive in 4 minute bursts more than others. And if you have Gee Santos, and I don't want to make this about Gee or JK, because JK is a more complete player, and I think he'll have a better career when all is said and done. But if you're Steve Kerr and you're looking for a 4 minute Energizer Bunny kind of an insert, for me, it's Gee Santos. You bring him in and you let him go crazy and do his thing. And similarly with Buddy Hield, all right, buddy, we need you to get in there for 4 to 6 minutes and make a bunch of shots. And he goes in there and he takes them and he doesn't make them. Okay, it's not your night, buddy. So we know we're not going to play you 32 minutes unless you're really, really hot. And that's just the way you have to deal with role players in these spots.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, it's not an easy one. I will agree with this. He started off by saying, look, or maybe it was even the previous caller, like Steve Kerr is much more comfortable with all of this than maybe we give him credit for, and I agree. I think, in fact, all the Warriors are. You know what I mean? Like, it's interesting because we watch this stuff and we go, man, there's such ego in sports. And there absolutely is. There is. Then again, there's Draymond Green, Mr. Podcast and ESPN and TNT and the loudest mouth in the game, is literally at the podium last night sharing a story of how he feels Steph Curry, in the kindest of ways, walked over to him with a few minutes left in the game and said, how about if you don't shoot? Because I'm better at it. And that's what we're going to be doing right now here for the rest of the way as I try to take us into the playoffs. And they handle that stuff. They completely handle that stuff. So my point is not that Jonathan is some way happy with what's going on. My point is that I think in the world of adult sports, everybody's used to this. You have to be able to take this. For God's sakes, we have a business that is based on us waking up every day and talking about these people for hours on end, and they deal with that. They deal with that. How would we feel if there was a whole industry based on talking about our performance the next day?
This is like Inception. So we got sports talk radio on sports talk radio.
There you go. How do you feel about that?
Dude, that's getting crazy.
It's a little much, isn't it?
Kind of like the YouTube feed.
All right, Warrior Wednesday is brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. It is weird to watch that, like, while you're talking. You suck. Anyway, come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. More of your phone calls. And 45 minutes away, Steve Kerr joins us on Willard and Dibbs.
Aldamo will throw it in. Kennard cuts to the corner. 5.4 to go. Bounce pass Morant. There's a 5-second call. It's a 5-second call. The Grizzlies have turned the ball over. Wow. They didn't get the ball in time. Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. Catch the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, with Willard and Dibbs every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
It's kind of one of the things I'm talking about when I think it was our very first caller of the day where Robin is like, the Warriors always like mess up at the end of games. How do you think they feel in Memphis today? What would you say today if we woke up, the Warriors are down 3 in a huge basketball game. You're playing for your life. You're down 3 with 6 seconds to go. And you can't even inbound the ball.
Right. I mean, get it in.
I mean, that's like, I would argue that Memphis messed that up a hell of a lot more than the Warriors did last night.
You could argue that, and I'd have to go back and look and see what it is they were trying to do. I was just, in the moment, fixated by two things. One, Steve Kerr listening to me in my suggestion box, because you remember last week, I asked Steve about why you didn't defend the inbounder when you were taking on... It was Harrison Barnes who hit that 3. So that must be, he's not a Spur. Barnes play for?
Yeah, the Spurs.
He's a Spur now? Yeah. There you go. They didn't guard the inbound. Barnes got the inbound pass. One dribble, turn, shoot, game, you lose. And so I said, why don't you guard the inbounder? And he said, well, sometimes we're afraid of the ball getting right back to the inbounder. And so, you know, we play off in case of that. And then last night, Steph Curry jumping up and down, guarding the inbound pass, which provoked the 5-second call.
I'm not sure if there's something wrong with my headsets. I'm being told that this is a faulty premise. Faulty premise. Gods above, radio gods are saying that your question was why don't you use a big man to guard the inbounder?
Right. And in this case, you used
Steph Curry.
You could try to yuck my yum all you want.
No, that my head. It's in my headset.
Well, then whoever's saying it in your headset shouldn't be such a coward and come on the air with it. Because the construct of the show is I say something self-congratulatory in nature.
Right.
And either you or Grandy or Lucas or all of you try to schmit on my point.
Well, yeah, because they have a lot of bad points.
That's not true. And in fact, yesterday I refuted Grandy's attempt at a rebuke by doing the stats, running the numbers, and proving Mark wrong about the officials, which... turned out to bear fruit.
What do you mean?
Because not only did I tell you that this officiating crew tends to have a lot of points in their games, I also told you to bet the over.
Say Grandy.
And both things came true.
Say Grandy. You said to prove Mark wrong and listeners are going to think you're talking about me. You're not talking about me.
I'm talking about Mark.
Yeah, Grandy.
Fine.
Mark.
Doesn't matter. In this case, it's Lucas Cowardice, the director of Cowardice.
If I were you, you've not trumpeted what I think you could argue, now we're both good arguers, that's why we do what we do, but like I think I could wiggle myself out of this paper bag with a follow-up point. But if I were you, I would have spent more time over the last week trumpeting the 48 hours where the whole station got into a debate about how aggressive Jimmy Butler should be offensively. And you were on the side of, dude, you need to shoot more. And right, from the moment right. you said that, Jimmy Butler has shot the ball 1,289 times. Now, they didn't win all of those games.
No, in the game that he only shot four times, they won.
Right. So, like, that's what I mean. I could argue my way out of a paper bag, too, because what I said that day was not really anything about Jimmy should shoot less. My argument that day was Jimmy should do whatever the hell Jimmy wants to do because Jimmy knows what he's doing. And Jimmy likes to make the right play on any given possession. And whatever he thinks that is, not that he's right 100% of the time, but I'm going to trust that because I think he's good at it.
Yeah, he is.
But if I were you, I'd have trumpeted that because that's aging well, as they say.
It's just kind of obvious. And the next game, he shoots it four times against Phoenix in a win. The next game, he gets 17 free throw attempts. Say it on the air.
Yeah, what's up, Grandy?
I have your question to Steve Kerr last, or your suggestion to Steve Kerr.
Let's play the suggestion box with Steve Kerr. Here it is live.
Here's
the Harrison Barnes three, the game-winning dagger. You had Steph guarding the ball. Any thought to maybe putting a more active on-ball defender to make things a little bit more difficult on the inbounder?
That's your question.
Oof, that didn't go well for you at all.
And he actually... In all honesty, he actually wasn't guarding the ball, so I misspoke in that because
he was last night.
Right, and he was guarding the ball in a much different manner. He was jumping up and down, doing humongous jumping jacks, and it worked because the inbounder took 6 seconds to inbound it, and that's one too many.
Some are saying seven.
Well, I actually ran the stopwatch earlier today, and it exactly was six. So.
Oh, well, the internet has a different stopwatch than you.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can...
Two people can run the same stopwatch, come up with a different number, because human errors
just depends on,
on that.
You know, how many times you want to run it, and when you're going to stop it, and when you're going to start it. So,
it's pretty
easy. It's pretty cookie cutter when you watch it.
So the Warriors had the exact same person guarding the ball both times? Is that accurate, Grandy?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, even though he actually wasn't guarding the ball the first time. But that's okay. This is a fun construct for the three of you to go against me, and I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Because what happens on the show, for people who don't know, is I talk, and then Grandy will whisper in your ear, or Lucas will whisper. I can't tell what's going on. And then Mark Willard gets this wry little smile, and so I'm talking, and it's a distraction because... They're either feeding you something to clown me or saying something to you that's not pertinent to what I'm saying. It's incredibly distracting.
They're not feeding me to clown you. They believe that there were accuracy issues with something that was said.
Right.
That's all.
Yep.
Don't get upset.
Don't
turtle up.
Is this me turtling up?
It looked like you're about to
turtle up. This is me bowing up. Bowing up on all three of you, and I'm not going to sit here and be the butt of your jokes. And allow you to try to clown me, you can keep doing it all you want. I'm here. I'm here 5 days a week.
That's actually exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
It's a radio show. So, I mean, that's what we do.
Yep.
All right. 888-957-9570. Let's go to Lucky in the city. Hi, Lucky. What are you doing?
Hey, Mark. I'm actually driving to the old Tesla, man, to put in my 12 hours tonight, man.
Hey, man. Do it. Do it. Drive safe.
Yeah. You know, we have to talk about these Warriors, man. You know, they finally made it to the playoffs, and I almost had a heart attack last night, man, but I'm glad they finally put it off, man. I'm a little relieved now, man. Now let's see where the fun begins. What do you think, Mark?
I think that's exactly what the word that was on my mind. I'm not going to look back on it and say I didn't enjoy it, but I'm also like, I'm not going to look back on it and act like that. And thank you, Lucky. Good luck with everything going forward. I'm not going to look back on that. It seems like you thought that the whole thing was fun, and that's fine. But that was hard. That was hard work as a fan last night, I thought.
Super fun. And for me, it's not hard work because all I have to do is sit there and watch it. And it was more stressful than maybe I thought it would be when they went up 20, but driving home and listening to Tim and Tom and they're down 12-3, I think it was at one point, and you know, they were struggling and Memphis was hitting everything and Warriors weren't scoring, and I thought this is not the way you wanted to start the game. And by the time I made it through the traffic Armageddon here in San Francisco and got home and put it on, it's like, all right, the Warriors kind of calmed it down and then they got hot and you knew Memphis would make a run, but that game definitely got super tight in the fourth quarter.
The traffic sort of, to me, I would liken the traffic yesterday to the Clipper game, which is that it was very unpleasant as it happened, but it turned out to be a good thing. I'd like to thank the traffic because I missed the 11-2 start. I didn't even know that that happened until you just told me. Like, you mentioned it about an hour ago. Yeah. I had no idea that the Warriors were down 11-2 because by the time we got to our seats, not at the game, where we went to go eat and drink and watch the game, the Warriors had already pretty much caught up. I think they were down by a bucket or two by the time we got there. And I don't think I would have enjoyed the 11-2 start at all.
Yeah, I'm glad
I missed it. Thank you, traffic. I missed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it on the radio because Tim and Tom are fantastic. And it's early. It's an NBA game. I wasn't into panic mode, but it's not the way I was hoping that they would start the game. And eventually Memphis cooled off and the Warriors got hot. And even when they were up 20, I wasn't of the mind that, oh boy, this thing is going to be autumn and it's going to be in the bag.
Speaking of early and NBA, we've got another play-in game underway right now between the Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls. And they're about 8 minutes into their game. And the Miami Heat lead by double digits already.
Wow.
28-16, the Miami Heat. I will say this, like, and this might be kind of fun. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now come to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.